I grew up in Riverside, California. I had two brothers and three sisters. My mom would take me out in the country sometimes and just drop me off and I'd just go explore. My fourth grade teacher told me I'm not supposed to go up in the mountains and ski and get pine cones and fish. Your kind of people don't do that. But being out in the parks and river bottoms and the mountain areas where I lived, I was able to see some of the wild birds fly and catch rabbits and chase each other and raise young. I didn't really understand what it was, but I knew I did want to have some type of a relationship with the birds. Some friends of mine found this bird out in the street. It was a young red-tailed hawk, not even ready to fly yet. They knew that I was into birds, so they brought it to me, so I raised this bird. One of my friends brought home a falconry book. I tried to read it, but I really didn't understand it because it was really in-depth, but I would just look at the pictures, try to put as much as I could together. I knew that falconers put bells on their birds, and so I would go up in the attic and raid my mom's Christmas decorations and put Christmas bells on my bird's legs, thinking that was a part of the falconry equipment. You know, I'm walking around with a gardening glove. I have this hawk on my fist, and I had no idea what I was doing, but I'm practicing falconry in the city. Falconry is not a sport. It's not an art. It's a way of life. Falconry was started before we had guns. That was a way that people put food on the table. My birds, to me, we're just partners. It's my responsibility to provide them with the opportunity to go out and hunt.
Step up. Step up.
You're trying to orchestrate the perfect flight. The enjoyment I get out of it is watching, and that's the relationship falconers and falcons have. We don't fly our birds with strings on them or anything. Sometimes they do fly away, and you have to start over. Every day you get your bird back is a successful day. When my birds hunt, they're pretty serious. They're designed for speed. The pointed wings, you know, how their feathers are shaped, their long toes, and that little notch in their nose cuts the air and allows them to breathe while they come down and strike their prey with force. And when they're coming to approach their game, you hear it before you see it, cutting through that air. And when they make contact, it's like a jab punch. The falcon strikes it and dazes it. The shape of their beaks are designed to snap the vertebrae and kill them instantly. Raptors and hawks live really hard lives, and to have a relationship with a wild animal, knowing that that wild animal accepts you as a partner and as a friend, is a blessing. That bird doesn't care what color I am. That bird doesn't care what kind of car I drive. That bird doesn't care, you know, where I sleep at night. And if I make that bird understand that I want to be its partner and give it an opportunity to live and fly and have a relationship with me, I can apply that too with you or anybody else. The day that I release my bird back out to the wild, I know that bird is gonna survive. I know that bird is gonna go out and probably get a mate and produce other birds in the wild. And I was a part of that. I look at those mountains, the Sierras and the Whites, and sometimes I really actually pinch myself like, wow, I'm really here. I practice falconry with the people in Europe. I practice falconry with the people in the Middle East, South Africa. I'm not rich, but I live a pretty good life. I never even thought that I would make a living traveling the world and consulting on different techniques with different falconers, and I want to actually try to give back and share some of my experiences. If I can help other falconers and non-falconers understand what falconry is doing, you know, if I can keep a kid from becoming a drug addict, and if I can help a kid stay in school, that's the peak, other than catching a prairie chicken with my falcons. But yeah, that would be my perfect flight.